With recent developments from the Federal Trade Commission regarding the ban on non-compete agreements, the landscape of employment and business practices is undergoing a significant shift. The FTC's decision, voting 3-2 to prohibit these agreements that affect a staggering 18% of U.S. workforce, approximately 30 million individuals, raises crucial questions about the future of employment policies and business competition. Joining us on the JR Morning Live line to talk more about the implications of this decision is Wendy Block, Vice President of Business Advocacy and Member Engagement for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
So with this FTC vote to ban non-compete agreements, it seems like a major shift in employment policies are on the horizons. How would this impact the employers, employees, and Michigan businesses?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The FTC rules expected to have far-reaching implications on all industries across Michigan and across our nation. And as you mentioned, it could impact up to 30 million workers nationwide by preventing employers from entering into these non-competes with their workers and requiring employers to rescind existing non-compete agreements, except for in very narrow circumstances related to senior executives. So we are expecting some fallout from this. I think the fight isn't over, if you say. We know that the U.S. Chamber is planning to file a lawsuit today challenging the FTC. We certainly and absolutely do not believe that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has constitutional or statutory authority to write their own competition rules. But the question will be whether the courts will issue a stay in this case or kind of a pause in implementation, because if they don't, this could go into effect in around 120 days. It's really 120 days after it's published in what's known as the Federal Register, which is where all rules go to get published before they become active.
Wendy, I think a lot of us in the broadcast business are subject to non-compete clauses in our contracts, and we agree to them, so we make a promise when we sign the agreement. But I got to tell you, when your boss either fires you or cuts your pay by 80% or demotes you and then tells you you can't seek employment elsewhere, what is the interest of the business for being able to do that? What's business's argument for maintaining these non-compete clauses? Because for some of us that have been on the other end of them, they don't seem very fair.
Yeah, no, and I hear you. And, you know, the courts have long stepped into non-competes that overstep, right? Like, so I think there was a case at some point that Jimmy John drivers had to sign a non-compete in Illinois because they were making freaky fast sandwiches and they didn't want anybody to go anywhere else to make those same fast sandwiches, right? And the courts very quickly struck down that non-compete and said, that just doesn't make any sense. A, you're a low-wage worker. B, like, there's nothing secret here, right? It's just kind of Jimmy John's culture and other things. And so they said, no. You know, there's other examples where employers have tried to say, you can't work anywhere in the state. You can't work within a, 12-county geographic region. And again, the courts have stepped in and said no. So, the courts really are the arbiter in these sorts of things, but certainly employers use non-competes and hopefully use them sparingly to help foster innovation, to preserve competition. When we surveyed our members, only 5% of our members are using non-compete in employment agreements. They're using contract clauses such as non-competes and non-solicits or forfeiture provisions and equity awards or severance agreements. They are using those more frequently. About 75% of our members use those, but they are using them judiciously. So, again, there's going to be one-offs, but employers are being urged by legal counsel to use these sparingly. Mm.
I wonder more about that exception for non-competes that have been negotiated already. I mean, again, from the broadcast world, we negotiate contracts. And I'm not speaking for myself, just like a lot of people I know. So would those be enforced then because they were negotiated? I wonder.
So what it provides is that employers cannot in the future enter into non-competes with workers after the effective date. So that's 120 days after some future date coming up. What it also then provides is that existing non-competes, other than those that are being used with senior executives, are not enforceable after the effective date as well. So for senior executives, they can remain in force, but the FTC estimates that fewer than 1% of workers would be deemed to be senior executives under the final rule because they have a salary threshold attached to them and they have to be in a policy-making position, which is a defined firm.
All right.
Quick question, though, because we do have a little bit more time.
Go ahead.
Wendy, we should point out here, the FTC, this was a highly unusual thing for them to do. Now, we're in an election year, and we know that they're trying to send a nice message to labor, but usually the FTC does this on an individual basis, not an economy-wide edict.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that's the concern that we have, the U.S. Chamber has, and other groups have, is that really, this is a blatant power grab by a regulatory agency that really doesn't, is kind of outside of its lane, right? They're looking to undermine American businesses and their ability to remain competitive. And so this is a big concern, and it should be a concern to all of us, because it's kind of like, if this agency and their overreach is allowed to go unchecked by the courts, you know, who's next? What's next? And this, you know, is a very much, I think, other federal agencies are watching to see what happens here and seeing, you know, what can they get away with despite constitutional or statutory authority. Frankly, if Congress wants to do this, if they want to ban non-competes altogether, they are fully within their rights. So are states. But this is kind of a weird one where you've got a federal regulatory agency, the Federal Trade Commission, who's kind of come in and said, "What? We don't like that. Nobody else is doing it, so we're going to do it. We're going to step in." And so this is one to watch.
All right, Wendy Block. We will be watching it. Wendy Block is Vice President of Business Advocacy and a member engagement for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Wendy, we appreciate you this morning. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is something that really spans
A
lot of industry.
Well, the Federal Trade Commission says, you know, it is in the business of making sure that our business world is competitive. Non-competes say right on the face. We're not competitive.
So, exactly. I mean, I know a ton of people with non-competes in their contracts, so everyone's ears perked up when they heard this yesterday.
Right. Oh, but the other part of it is we all agree to those things in the terms of our contract.
That was my question.
Too.
If we negotiated it, then I guess it stands.
Yeah. All right. Well, coming up 8:05, we will have all the latest news of the day, plus a lot more. Steve Courtney is going to join us as well in the 8 o'clock hour.